still monthly, and next month it's the 13th, not the 20th?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we are on item number two, combined cases 22-136 and 23-03 in regards to Maya Bella Pianta, DBM, monthly appearance as required by consent agreement. Board may review, discuss, and take action on compliance with consent agreement and other information presented, and may amend the ICA. So, good morning. Thank you both for being here. Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Thank you. I just want to follow up on last month's discussion where there was, where I brought up the fact that the consent agreement requires a minimum of three times a week for the recovery program and with reports submitted to us. And I don't think we've gotten any on that, have we, Victoria?
We did have something.
I know I saw general statements by the program, but by the sponsor, but I didn't see any documentation of attendance that complies with the consent agreement.
And I apologize. Is this the responded with where we specifically asked to give frequency? There's been more than one. So let me just see what I have.
Okay.
But I do. I feel like. We did get something more specific.
Is what I'm referring to specifically is on page 12 of 17 of the third interim consent agreement. Line 15 under recovery program, 5A and 5B. Well, 5B is long past because this consent agreement was entered into back in March of this year. But it does state, respondents shall immediately enroll in a recovery program and shall attend program meetings in person a minimum of three times per week. Respondents shall obtain a sponsor, and the sponsor shall provide monthly reports to the recovery board attesting to respondents' attendance and participation.
And I think we most recently did provide another sponsor letter.
We did. Yeah. And so
Does it mention the three?
It does. Okay. So I apologize. Sometimes when we upload it.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't. I saw the old one. Okay. Good. So that's taken care of.
So yeah, it says on November 7th we received an email from the sponsor saying that she's still the sponsor. Then I asked her for more detail about, and she responded, and she said she's attending meetings three times a week.
Okay, she's participating. Does it say the frequency? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Three times a week.
Three times a week, okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay, good, I'm glad that issue's taken care of. How are things going at work?
This is a hard time of year for my business anyway, because everybody's kind of spending money on presents and not veterinary care, so it's real slow, but I put out some Google ads, and I've been sending out emails and doing like Facebook, Veterans Day posts and stuff, and some of that has kind of worked to get a couple of appointments, but it's not as busy as, you know, previous years, unfortunately.
But still through the mobile? Yeah.
Okay,
good. Has there been any update on the cases that were pending?
Yeah, we have an update on the DUI. She did accept a plea to the DUI and is in the process of meeting compliance with her with the plea. We're just getting paperwork in from her criminal defense attorney, so we do need to do a supplement to Victoria on that. But that has been resolved at this point as well.
Great, great. And is there probation involved or anything?
I don't believe so. Okay. I'll defer to Maya. You're not on probation. Yeah, Mesa, where the case was, doesn't typically do probation. And in looking at the plea I just received, there's no probation. What happens is there's a review that the judge does just to make sure that she's completed any of the requirements, which is essentially she has to do a counseling class that's court-ordered and has to pay some fines and things like that.
Okay, but you'll send us that information.
I will, yeah. So when I do these cases, I'm used to getting kind of a bigger stack of papers, and all I was sent by counsel was a DUI plea, so I just need to do a, I was waiting to have a full supplement.
Great.
But that'll be before the next meeting.
Okay, great, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glad that, I bet you're glad that's been resolved.
Yeah, and I'm doing the assessment tomorrow.
Yeah, the screening for the court ordered assessment is there, which will just be some additional education, somewhere between 16 and 56 hours of additional DUI specific education and counseling.
Victor, well, this is maybe a more question for Mark. Once that is done, do we need to incorporate it in any way into our a consent agreement from our board?
Well, that'll be up to you.
Okay.
But it sounds like that piece of the concerns have been finalized,
yes,
if you will.
Yeah.
So now you have, you know, all the information with respect to that issue.
Great. Well, once we see it, I think we'll have a better idea.
And the question would be, I think, for the board, if you wanted to, for the next board meeting, agendize it in such a way, or re-agendize it for next time, such that you could offer a final resolution to the pending matters that are on these two matters, because she had, the DUI was sort of the thing that was hanging out there. We've been bumping along on interims, which is totally fine, but to come up with a potentially a resolution that would then go retroactive. So if it's a 3 or 4, whatever year, number of years, it goes back to capture some of the interim period.
Okay, so in other words, a final consent agreement.
If you wanted to, yeah, I think you could agendize it.
We've been doing interims. So,
yeah, which again, interims are fine. It's what a lot of boards do, but if you wanted to get this off your docket as an interim matter and turn it into a final, and then have the reviews just be part of her compliance, that could be done.
Okay.
And we wouldn't object if that's a discussion we want to have.
Okay. Any questions of us?
No, I think we're remaining, obviously, many in compliance, and we're trying to make sure everything gets to Victoria. We had the 15th has sort of been our date now, and it's been much easier to get everything to the board.
Right, except when we meet earlier because of the holidays,
yeah,
next month. So,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
okay,
for being here, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got a little bit of time, so we're going to pop back up to the initial investigative reviews. Number one, 23-146, in regards to Lorna Landman DVM.
I think that's actually, was that Landon?
Yeah, but
yes.
This is.
One of
yours,
yeah. Is this the one I have? Yeah,
it's
because.
Oh,
okay. Do I have my notes correct?
Handing off the case.
Because, Dave, is this the last item you're here for?
I have,
or do you
the
have
next
others?
One, Catherine Legend.
Okay, got it. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that one. And Tracy, you can read the front load for us.
Case 23-146, the complainant is Terry Haley. The respondent is Lorna Landman, DVM. On April 28th, 2023, Gucci, a 12-year-old male Papillon, was presented to respondent for a follow-up exam after being seen on emergency. Respondent noted that the dog had a distended abdomen and diagnosis was performed. Abdominal ultrasound revealed a mass that suspected to be a mass. To be on the adrenal gland and sludge in the gall bladder. Respondent further suspected that the dog had Cushing's disease. Blood work revealed elevated kidney and liver issues. Exploratory surgery was recommended. Complainant was advised that an adrenal gland tumor would be removed. On May 3rd, 2023, the dog was presented to respondent for surgery. Upon exploration of the dog's abdomen, respondent found a tumor on the spleen and removed the spleen. Complainant was not advised of the finding and did not authorize removal of the spleen. During the procedure, respondent removed 3 loose teeth from the dog's mouth, which complainant did not authorize. The dog recovered and was discharged later that day. On May 4th, 2023, the dog returned for a recheck and fluids. Complainant was advised that if the dog did not do well or not eat, the dog should be rechecked. Complainant stated that the dog did not eat for 2 more days. And the committee concluded no recommendation. They could not come to a consensus. It was a split vote, so therefore each motion for a violation failed and also a motion for dismissal failed.
Okay, thank you. So we do not have the committee here, but we have Mr. Stoll reading a statement for Dr.
Yes,
Landman.
Thank you.
As long as he doesn't cough on it.
Thank you for letting me address you this morning, albeit with a hoarse voice. Dr. Lamon is currently out of the country, but asked that I leave this statement on her behalf. Although the investigative committee discussed areas of concern in this case, they did not reach a consensus with respect to any potential violations. Medically, there were no concerns whatsoever about the actual exploratory surgery. However, the committee wondered why Dr. Lamon did not call the owner during the surgery to discuss the three diseased loose teeth that were removed. In that regard, please keep in mind that the teeth fell out unexpectedly during the surgery. As all of you know very well, teeth commonly fall out during dental procedures and other anesthetic procedures, especially in cases involving older dogs. In this case, Gucci, the dog, was 12 years old and had significant dental tartar and loose incisors. Dr. Lamon elected not to stop the surgery and call the owner to discuss the teeth because she did not want to keep this older dog under anesthesia any longer than needed to be. Medically, it was an appropriate thing for Dr. Lamon to do, and that should not be a basis for any type of violation in this matter. Finally, there were some concerns or discussions by the committee about a discrepancy in the medical record and in the invoice, where one references the teeth falling out and the other refers to them as extractions. We see discrepancies like this from time to time, especially in cases involving billing codes where different words are used or phrases. A difference in word choices like this has never been the basis of a formal medical records violation, and it shouldn't be in this case. We therefore feel that this complaint should be dismissed with no violations. However, to the extent you have any concerns, you may address them and memorialize them in a letter of concern. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yes. So, as was mentioned, the investigative committee could not come to a conclusion on this case. I think there are a lot of questions that are still left to be answered. There's a lot of she said, what the owner thought the patient was going in for surgically, what the animal actually did have surgically done, no communication. So I think it's just trying to get a better indication of, hopefully get a better indication of what actually happened. And I think the best way to do that is to move this to an informal and discuss it with both the complainant and the respondent, and perhaps even some of the respondents' staff members, because I feel that their versions of events may even differ amongst themselves.
Is that a motion?
That's my motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move case 23-146 to an informal. Is there any further discussion?
Totally agree with that. I think there's a lot of weird, like, did the catheter stay in? Did the catheter actually come out? Were discharge instructions given? Were discharge instructions not? Like, there's a lot of that I just couldn't quite get to the bottom of.
The IC audio was helpful, but then it made it more confusing.
I don't know how to.
You just took what was, you know, provided, yeah. And the respondent and the complainants, you might have come to a different conclusion on some of these things. So, yeah, I'm with you. I hope there's some clarity after. Yes.
And some of the communication issues, sometimes you look to the records for some help. No help.
If there were no help, right. No.
Ms. Whitmore has something to add.
Yes. Madam Chair, is there anyone in particular of the staff that you would like us to invite that you would want to speak to? Informal?
Can I look back at the record and give you that information later in the day?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Let's go ahead then and do number 23-149 in regards to Catherine Legend, DBM. Tracy, can you read the summary?
23-149. The complainant is Noelle Jasmine Griffin. The respondent is Catherine Legend, DBM. On April 7th, 2023, Daisy, a 3 to 4 month old female boxer mix, was presented to respondent for a follow-up evaluation after an emergency visit 1 week earlier due to a fractured left rear limb. The pet owners had been confining the dog as much as possible, and the splint was intact. The leg appeared to be straight, and the splint was replaced. Sedatives were recommended but declined. A couple days later, complaint is reported that the bandage slipped down the dog's leg and requested this would be replaced at no charge. They were advised that the dog could be seen, but there would be a charge for the split. Complainants elected to hold off and bring the dog in at the scheduled appointment. On April 14th, 2023, the dog was presented for bandage change. The bandage had slid down the dog's leg and firm material was used to re-bandage the limb. It was apparent that the limb was not healing properly. Radiographs were recommended but declined due to financial constraints. Respondent took radiographs at no charge. Referral to an orthopedic surgeon was recommended but declined. The splint was replaced. On April 21st, 2023, the dog was presented to the respondent for a third bandage change. Complainant again declined the recommended sedatives. On April 28th, 2023, the dog was presented to the respondent for the fourth bandage change. The bandage had shifted and was urine soaked. Radiographs were recommended and declined. The bandage was replaced. This was the last visit the respondent saw the dog. Respondent's associate, Dr. Cramp, saw the dog on May 4th, 2023 and provided radiographs at no charge. On May 9th, 2023, Dr. Cramp saw the dog and replaced the dog's splint that was soaked with urine and feces. And the committee concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the complainant here. We have Mr. Stoll on behalf of the vet.
Monitoring and coughing only.
All righty, and Dr. James, you are the lead on this.
Yeah, so, I mean, these cases can be really frustrating, these fractures that we try to do what we can with when we have financial limitations and we're not able to do everything we want. And I think that that's what happened here. We had kind of tied these vets' hands behind their back and asked them to do the best they could, and I think they did. And they even did things at no charge. Yeah. But ultimately, what happens at home and whether it's a three-month-old boxer, I imagine he was pretty active. They declined the sedative. I don't know how well it was confined and the bandage kept slipping. Is that a failure of how the bandage was put on, or is that a failure of the keeping the dog confined? But there were multiple things that were offered to try and combat these issues, and they just weren't accepted. So I just don't see here where we have a violation of our Practice Act rules. So I would make a motion that we support the findings of the investigative committee with no violations of our Practice Act rules.
Second.
Okay, motion and second.
Yeah, on this one, I actually wrote that the owner should have sent this veterinarian a thank you note and flowers instead of filing a board complaint against them. I mean, they really just went above and beyond, you know, doing these x-rays for free and just everything being declined. I thought, boy, I just...
And we had a good outcome despite
right,
all
exactly.
the limitations.
Just didn't understand this one.
So. Yeah. I couldn't really find a basis for the complaint.
I know.
Yeah,
that's
why I was like,
really?
Why is there a complaint? Was a, I
right.
That word.
Yep.
For boys.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-149. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. All right. I'm going to keep going here for a little bit. Right. Okay. I do want to get Dr. James' final items in too, since we're losing her soon. But we'll do number 4, 23-151 in regards to Reed Scudder DVM. Read the front load, Tracy.
Yes, case 23-151, the complainant is Bill and Daenerys Morales, and the respondent is Reed Scudder DVM. On May 3rd, 2023, Rosie, a 4-year-old female Weimaraner, was presented to respondent for a pre-surgical exam. An irregular heart rhythm cadence was heard, and an ear infection was found. Vaccines were administered, medications were dispensed, and the spay surgery was scheduled prior to discharge. On May 31st, 2023, the dog was presented to respond for a spay procedure of microchip. An ECG was performed prior to the procedure. Due to intermittent arrhythmia, the reading was submitted to CardioPet for review. There were no pathologic arrhythmias noted, and anesthetic recommendations were suggested if no further workup was being conducted. The dog was anesthetized and respondents started the procedure. Escape beats were noted and the heart rate and blood pressure decreased before respondent elected to stop the procedure. As respondent was suturing the abdominal incision, the dog went in asystole for a few seconds before the heart restarted on its own. In recovery, the dog had nystagmus, therefore two doses of naloxone were administered, and the dog was closely monitored by staff to keep the dog quiet. The arrhythmia was still present at discharge. The following day, Mr. Morales spoke with respondent about what transpired with the dog and the associated fees. Mr. Morales felt respondent was not truthful about what transpired, as Ms. Morales was told something different at discharge. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with vote of 3-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the respondent nor the complainant available, and Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, so in this case, the pet was presented for procedure. Earlier, it had been noted that there may have been something off with the heart. They did do an EKG. Everything seemed to be okay. They went forward with the surgery. I think those of us practicing have been in that situation where you're in the midst of getting ready to do something and the pet doesn't necessarily follow all the rules that you had hoped that they would. And when something goes wrong with the heart, you try to abort what you're doing and get them awake as quickly as possible, and I think that's what happened here. It sounds like he had just gotten through his skin incision when there was issue with the dog and made the decision to not proceed, which I think was a wise decision to not go forward with the surgery given the circumstances, woke the dog up. I don't see where there is a violation. I think there's probably some confusion. People are frustrated when, I brought my pet in for a certain procedure and you didn't do the procedure and there are still charges even though you didn't do the procedure that was that I brought my pet for, but there were still things that pet received to try to get it to the procedure and then get it through the actual act that of the incision. So I think it's just some misunderstanding of the expectations and that we still have to pay for those things that happened to the pet. So I'm not seeing any violations and I would recommend to dismiss.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-151. There's no further discussion.
The only thing I agree, and I've been in this situation, and it's always the surgeon, then do I try to get this done? And they have to make that decision at that point. If we had gone ahead with the surgery and the patient had died of a fatal arrhythmia, we'd be here for another reason.
Exactly.
So I think the actions were appropriate, and you just have to make that decision. And it's the surgeon's decision, and that's what she decided to do, and I think that was totally appropriate.
And it was an optional non-emergent exactly. Surgery.
Space.
Right, and the logical next step would be a cardiologist.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Let's get this to a cardiologist and find out exactly what's going on. And then he may have been able to spay the dog with that recommendation or treatment and
right.
Wouldn't have the responsibility at that point.
Exactly. Okay, good discussion. So again, we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-151. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We're now going to do number 5, 23-153, in regards to Scott Dustin, DVM. And Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Case 23-153, the complainant is Magdalena Kedzulin, and the respondent is Scott Dustin, DVM. On June 5th, 2023, complainant placed an order with an online pet pharmacy for insulin for Tauntaun, a 9-year-old female multi-poo. Respondent declined the refill since it had been over a year since the dog had been seen and there was no evidence the dog's diabetes was ever regulated. Complainant scheduled an appointment and hospital staff approved the insulin order. Complainant was also offered to pick up the insulin from the premises, which was declined. On June 9th, 2023, complainant was contacted by the online pharmacy for payment of the Novolin insulin. The dog was currently being treated with Vetsulin. Complainant called respondent's premises to let them know the wrong type of insulin was ordered. Respondent's premises said they would correct the order and offered complainant to pick up the insulin at the premises. Complainant declined. Due to the weekend, the insulin was not ordered until June 12th of 2023. The insulin did not ship until June 13th, 2023. On June 14th, 2023, the dog passed away. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. And again, we do not have the respondent or the complainant present. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
Yeah, so I mean, I think in this case, again, similar to my last one, I think the vet here did everything that they could, that this owner had not come in for follow-ups. We had some compliance issues. They did schedule the appointment and came in at this point in time, but multiple times. Insulin from the clinic was offered to get it faster, to get it, you know, so that they had it, and it was multiple times declined. So I, you know, there was certainly a mistake in what kind of insulin was ordered, but I can kind of see how that happened, and I feel like they did everything they should have as to keep this pet on the right insulin. So I just can't find any violations here, and I would make a motion that we support the findings of the investigative committee with no violations of our
second.
Practice act or rules.
Second.
Okay. Motion.
And I would, in the discussion part, I would say this owner did everything they possibly could to make sure the dog did not get their insulin.
Exactly.
It's
sad. Very sad.
Yeah, there are multiple ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
To have gotten that insulin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A motion and a second to dismiss case 23-153. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? One note, and I don't know that it matters, Tracy, is the summary has the respondent's license number as the case number.
Oh, correct that. Thank you.
Okay, so we are going to jump down now. So we are going to go down to section number 4, administrative review of previous actions. We are on item number 4, 2362, in regards to Lorna Landman, DVM. Board will conduct a limited review of the findings of facts set forth in the board order for case 2362. The limited review may include discussion and possible action. Dr. Nosley is the lead, and please note that we have several people abstaining just due to their absence on some of this. So Dr. Byrne, Dr. James, and Dr. Thompson. So, 1, 2, okay. all right.
Do we still have quorum?
Yeah, I just had to, yes.
Okay.
We have 8 minus 3.
Okay. Thank you for asking. Sorry, I go back to my training on this.
Yes. Okay, and Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
So we had have a limited review of the findings of fact, and Mark, could we kind of go through these one at a time and start with the...
I think that'd be appropriate. Yeah.
Which one would you like to start with then?
I'll defer to you.
Okay. We have the issue of the VD radiograph was one of the issues. Again, we have to look at the reason the board made the decision that they did. And we've discussed this at length. And the conclusion was that the respondent was responsible for her actions regarding this case, and by doing so, she became responsible for being a part of this case and understanding what's going on. And we've talked about that. The basis of that was for she talked to the owner and then made a decision on her own to order a test. And so maybe approaching it from the other way through your experience, maybe I can explain that a little further. In a case like this where there is a primary doctor involved, he or she then may ask another doctor their opinion on the case. And then possibly that there'll be some input at that point. Well, did you ever think about this? And that's usually the way this happens. In this case, there was no discussion with the primary care doctor. There's no disagreement that that Dr. Dordo at this point was the, at the point where Dr. Lehman ordered the test, was the primary doctor. In addition, there was no examination, no reading of records. And had those things been done, which would be the normal process if you're going to make a recommendation for an advanced diagnostic, those things would normally be done. And immediately upon recognizing the radiograph as to hospital policy and standard of care, you would immediately ask for a VD radiograph at that point. So that was the basis for that. Again, it all comes back to the point where now Dr. Lehman is responsible for her actions in the case. So the other point I would make is by her actions of not doing those things and then just ordering the test and going back to surgery provided an opportunity for further delay in a patient who should have been a surgical patient over 24 hours ago. So, before moving on to the next, does anybody have anything to add to the VD radiograph?
Great job.
Okay. What else did we have a question about?
There was the text message communications.
Yeah.
And just specifically specifying the text messaging.
Right. The text messaging, we had a, we found a violation in providing courteous verbal interchange. And there was actually two parts to that violation. One, there was no follow-up communication between the respondent and the complainant after that test was ordered. And secondly, there was these text messages that subsequently occurred that I would maintain is the opposite of courteous verbal exchange. And if we have to go through those, we can. Those text messages, if anyone has questions about that or feels like we need to review those text messages, we can certainly do so.
I believe that part of the administrative record, they were the text messages that you considered when you held the informal interview
right.
at the time and
right.
discussed.
Yes, those were the text yeah. messages.
And you felt those were unprofessional
yes.
behavior?
Yes.
Unethical?
Yeah, if we, without reading them word for word, when the respondent accused the complainant of being responsible for her dog's death in not seeking appropriate timely care, that's inappropriate. Asking for a donation in lieu of payment, that's inappropriate. I could probably go on and on, but those are a couple examples.
And one of the original concerns was the first order referenced the communications, but the conclusions law specifically, I believe, referenced the text message communications. Mm-hmm. And so we just wanted to make sure that the findings of fact reflected that.
It was the text messages and that occurred after
the expiration.
Yeah, okay.
And then I think the last area that was raised was the record keeping
yeah.
from Dr. Lehman.
Yeah. Again, if now the same issue involves, if we're to accept that the respondent was now responsible for the case, not solely, but interjected herself by ordering the test and then not following up, all of those things should have been in the medical record. Dr. Lehman or I ordered this test and this is the result, and I ordered it based on that. There was nothing in there, nothing in the record by Dr. Lamon, who at that point that I keep referring to became responsible for her actions regarding that case. Anybody disagree or have discussion about the records? In this particular case, if I was involved in this case and was asked and had made the determination to interject myself and order this test, then I would make sure that I was in the record of stating why I did this and the conclusions and the outcome. And there was none of that in the record.
Thank you. So if everybody, you know, is in agreement, then what I would ask is that you move to modify the findings of facts to incorporate the three areas that were just addressed in your presentation.
So I would make a motion to amend the findings of fact as we just discussed regarding the three issues of the PD radiograph, the text messages, and the record.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to modify the findings of fact. Let's go ahead and do roll call for that, maybe.
Can I do roll call even though I'm not involved?
Oh. No.
Ms. Krieger.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Mr. Logie.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes
that. Well, hold on to that in case you need it after.
Okay, that concludes that item.
There's a point of order on this item, actually. We're not modifying conclusions of law or discipline. So in order for us to take it up to the Superior Court, where we would ask them for a stay, I do have to ask you, or it's our practice, because from an attorney's fees perspective, we need to ask you to stay the discipline until we take it up to the Superior Court to challenge the, you've now created what's a final order. The next step is Victoria will send us an order and then we will file an appeal. As part of that, we will ask for a stay. General good practice when there's a stay request is that we first make the stay of the veterinarian board itself. If the board were to grant a stay of discipline, then that will allow us to litigate the matter in front of the Superior Court. If you don't grant the stay, then I have to take it up to Superior Court and ask the court to grant that stay. If we are ultimately successful in the case, one component of the fees we'll seek against the board will be the failure of the board to allow us to stay the proceedings so that we can take our appeals. And so good practice and the Semple case out of the Board of Accountancy teaches us we have to be reasonable. So we're making the request that you stay the proceedings right now until we have the opportunity to appeal.
Madam Chair, I have a question. How long do you ask me to stay?
Typically the way a stay works, and I just don't want to step on Mr. Harris, but the way it typically works is the stay is granted, it goes up to the court. The court will then ask Ms. Whitmore for the records. Those will come up. We will have a briefing schedule, and then it'll come back down. So what you can do, and we would be comfortable with, so that there's some movement on this case, you can grant a partial stay of everything except the continuing education. So at least she's doing something, and she already has already presented a schedule for continuing education. We just want to put the brakes on the exam and the suspension and the other items, because once those happen, I can't unring that bell, and so she could have some real prejudice or harm. Whereas the continuing education, she's submitted a schedule already, she's willing to do the continuing education. So what we would just request is it come up, and that can take as long as Judge McKittish at Superior Court tells us.
Yeah.
Can I make a motion to go on an executive session for legal advice?
Yes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion and second to go into executive session for legal advice. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.